championship week that was. Once again, after starting another season at number one, they finished the regular season and final college football playoff number one, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And our next guest has covered them just a few times over the years. Joining us now, Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville, as well First Coast News and more, covering college football and college sports in the South and the SEC 24/7. Brent, always great to catch up, my friend.
Well, it's good to be with you, too. It was an interesting weekend, say the least. And by the way, if people haven't heard this, you're Heisman finalist, or Aiden Hutchinson to Michigan, Kenny Pickett of Pitt, Bryce Young of Alabama, C.J. Stroud of Ohio State. So we've got, I believe we had three last year this week. This year we've got four, so that is hot off the press as we are still discussing championship weekend and how exciting of a weekend that was in many ways.
And I'm glad to see Hutchinson in there. I know Drew has been, his family is Michigan guys, and I'm sure to talk more, but good to see a defensive guy get at least nominated, because he had one heck of a year. And really, the turnaround for Michigan wasn't just that they had a good run game and Haskins made some plays. They won tough ball games against Penn State, games where he went out there and had three sacks in that game, and they won 21-17 against a tough environment at Beaver Stadium. And, you know, in the game against Ohio State, Penn State and Ohio State alone, he combined for six sacks, and that's shown up in the biggest game. So Hutchinson, to me, definitely deserved it. I'm glad he was there. I think it's all pretty clear to us that Bryce Young is going to win it. I know that anything can happen, but I'm not judging this on my opinion, just based on everything I've seen. And, you know, I know he's gone out there too, Brent, and put up now 24 touchdowns, one interception since that loss when they played against Texas A&M. So he's really turned it around. And even against the game against Auburn, where it started bad for three quarters, he ended the game in the biggest fashion to get the win. So I think Bryce Young is going to get it. We saw what he did against Georgia defense. We saw what Jameson Williams is capable of doing. And I don't know if Georgia's defense got completely exposed. There was just a weak link that Nick Saban is such a good mind. He is so good at what he does. He figured out the one part that they had a superior complex, and that was an elite quarterback and a receiver that nobody could cover, even Georgia. And they completely disposed that secondary on that play. And it was pretty clear. So it was just Nick Saban, once again, masterminding what he knew that other teams didn't have the capability of doing, because their offense wasn't elite enough with those guys to do it against Georgia.
Well, the unusual thing in that game was how the Alabama offensive line, that's really arguably been a weak spot the whole year, it did not allow any sacks. That was nothing short of amazing. What a great game plan. And Georgia beat writers told us throughout the year that Georgia coaches really did a good job in covering up their weakness, which is a secondary. So, but the effectiveness of the Georgia defense, Chad, is if you don't get pressure on the quarterback and to the quarterback, that you leave them frankly vulnerable. And that's basically what happened. As Bryce Young was able to spread the ball around, the deepest part was to Jameson Williams, and the Alabama defense stepped up. And I will say this, and I'm seeing it on Twitter, and I would agree with that. If you've got Aiden Hutchinson in there from Michigan, where is Will Anderson in the Heisman finalist? He really should have been there too, as far as a difference maker is concerned. But at least we're making progress in that there is a defensive player on the list.
Yeah, he's been the face of that Alabama defense, Brent. One question I want to ask you, going back to this Alabama, I guess, a matchup. In terms of their offensive line, I know that was a big story, but the loss of John Mechie, likely, I think, to a torn ACL, how big of a deal is that for Alabama going into this playoff, I guess, with this first game in particular against Cincinnati and then looking forward?
Well, I think it's I think it's huge. I mean, anytime you've got a guy who basically has 100 catches roughly, he really set the stage for Williams to do what he did. But at the same time, other guys have got to continue to step up. I think they probably will. You would, if they could get anything out of Jaleel Billingsley, which has been a struggle for them at the least, and at the most, that, that if they, I mean, Ja'Cory Brooks, who caught the touchdown against Auburn, I mean, they've got capable receivers. Part of the problem they've had this year is they haven't played enough players, and that they are going to have to be able to do that. But still, Slade Bolden was another guy that really helped them on the against Georgia. But yes, it will certainly hurt them. There's no doubt about that. But they're also hoping to get some of the guys who have been hurt back for the game too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going into the matchup, obviously I think everybody is, at least from a perspective of Alabama versus Cincinnati, thinks that Alabama is going to win this game. But how much of a shot do you think Cincinnati actually has to keep this game interesting, given the loss of Mechie, and, I mean, just how effective that offense has looked? Of course, they've been going against American opponents and not, you know, Alabama's defense. But in terms of gauging how much of a chance Cincinnati has to actually win this game against Alabama, what would you say to that?
Well, I think, tell me what we're going to see against the Alabama team in 3.5 weeks. And see, that's what we don't know. Mm. Will they be as motivated as they were against Georgia? See, there were so many people that were overconfident about Georgia winning this game that it was unbelievable. That the only thing I remember close to this was Alabama-Miami in 1993 on that January day where Bama beat them. Then Miami was just supposed to be unbeatable with Gino Toretta. And then, if you guys remember, when Florida State made the rap video during the summer, and then opened the season against Miami, and Miami beat them 31-0. And they were so confident that they were going to win that game. So, and look, Ritter's a good quarterback. Jerome Ford, their running back for Cincinnati, people may have forgot this, but he used to play at Alabama. And look, right now, if Jerome Ford was still in Alabama, he may be starting. So, and they've got a really good defense. They've got one of the better quarterbacks anywhere. So I'm not saying this is an Alabama laydown by any stretch of the imagination, because, guys, you saw Bama against Auburn, against LSU, against teams that everybody thought that they would just destroy, that they were – very fortunate at the end just to be able to win the game. So frankly, the mindset that Bama has in the upcoming game, I think, is as important as anything they do.
Who has a better chance of winning their semifinal matchup? Would it be Cincinnati over Alabama, or would you say Michigan beating Georgia?
That's almost a draw, as far as I'm concerned. I mean Michigan's. Michigan's going to have better athletes and a better roster than Cincinnati is, but I give Luke Fick a lot of credit for what he's done with that. I would say that's probably fairly even, that maybe people don't understand that. Both Bama and Georgia, I mean, I do think they'll end up playing each other again. But I think there is a real upset potential for both of those teams.
Well, and I think Cincinnati, too, to the point, you know, we've seen a little version. Now, we can say what we want, that Georgia wasn't up. They weren't the same team. But remember, they played last year in New Year's Six game against Cincinnati, and Cincinnati looked like the better team, I would say, for three-fourths of that game. At the end, Georgia hit a 52-yard field goal to win, but that's only because Desmond Ridder didn't pick up a first down on third down and one, and that would have ended the game. I mean, Cincinnati legit, I was watching that game, and the things you look at against elite teams is how closing gap speed, offensive line, how the push-off in the trenches. That's like with Ole Miss. Ole Miss is fun to watch, but when Ole Miss plays in Alabama or an Ohio State or someone like that, they get pushed backwards usually at the line of scrimmage. They're just not the same caliber in the trenches and winning that. Cincinnati looked like a team that could compete at any level. So I and they've done that throughout the year. They're well coached. And I think the one thing is, like we saw with Jameson Williams, I think that Cincinnati is going to make them beat them some other way. I mean, they're not going to, they have enough time to say, what that just happened against Georgia, that's not happening to us. So if they want to beat us by 7-8 yards using the tight end, which they don't a lot, you're running the football, then that's how we're going to lose. But we're not losing, allowing 7 catches for 190 and 2 touchdowns. Right. They're that well coached. And I think people need to understand that. It's not going to be that simple when this game gets going. I want to ask you, Brent, we could keep you on for days with so much to get to right now. But I want to ask you, Billy Napier, he shows up. I think it says a lot about the guy. Actions always speak louder than words. He was 38-12 when he was over at Louisiana Lafayette. And then he goes out there and wins the Sun Belt Championship, knowing that he's already a Florida Gator. To me, to get your mindset right, to go and win a championship with a team, knowing you're no longer there, when we've seen a lot of coaches already check out, which you could maybe say about Mario Cristobal in Oregon, the way they showed up. But if you look at this, talk about it, because I just feel like this guy's got that swag. Like, this guy just walks around like I'm that it factor, and it's fun to watch him. He's got he is a guy that is intense, and I don't know. He might not work, and there's a lot of things to fix at Florida, but I like Billy Napier. Just from what I've seen, I like Billy Napier as a coach.
I think he's a terrific hire. Napier gets it in a lot of ways. He did a really good job, frankly, at Louisiana, 32-5 in the last 3 years. A terrific recruiter, which is who they need. Has shown actually some humility by saying that when he was at Clemson and got fired, that knocked some of the arrogance out of him. I thought that was a pretty incredible thing to say for a coach. But he's very organized. Nick Saban is his mentor, and he's learned everything he can from Saban. That's how he models his program. I think he'll do the same thing. And I tell you what, guys, Miami's also, I think, have upgraded themselves with Mario Cristobal. Now, Cristobal is a tremendous recruiter. He did a really good job at Oregon. But see, I'm tying these things together here. The thing that you got with Cristobal, though, at Oregon, like you saw against Utah, Cristobal's teams lay an egg about twice a year. So that's the thing you've got to take account for. Now, look, he's much better coach than Manny Diaz. But the way they treated Diaz at the end, and if you guys have seen this on Twitter, Diaz kind of shot back at Manny for how they treated him at the end, believing him to basically twist in the wind with that. So I think Diaz is a really good hire. But, guys, something that was pointed out to me that I'll share here, too, is think about this a minute. In Napier's first game next year for Florida, they have a home opener against Utah. People may not have seen that yet, but look, that is a terrific football team.
Yeah, it is.
Kyle Willingham is just absolutely incredible. And how about FSU also opening the season versus LSU and Brian Kelly in New Orleans? So we'll have time to get into this, but my goodness, along with these new coaching situations, that's a great way to start the season next year, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have some really good games. I thought, as you mentioned, Brent, with the Manny Diaz thing, I mean, he made sure to throw a little bit of shade Miami's way in his exiting statement, if you will. One question I want to ask you. So I saw this posed on Twitter. Does Cincinnati getting in make there less of an argument to have an expansion of the playoffs sooner? I know that, you know, Bob Bowlesby's talked about this. Pac-12 commissioners talked about this, how they haven't really been able to come to an agreement on what they're going to do. And expansion sooner seems less probable than it does later. Is there any way that Cincinnati getting in as a Group of Five team slows that process down? Or is this just one of those situations where Cincinnati built up that rep last year? They were ranked inside the top 10 during the preseason, and they already had the respect in away from the committee. And with that win over Notre Dame, I think that just solidified everything, with them also going undefeated.
Well, because I don't think it slows it down at all, and it shouldn't. Look, Cincinnati got in partly on their own merit. They also got in because some of the teams behind them lost, and they also beat Notre Dame. So all that was to Cincinnati's credit. The thing they really got to do, guys, with this playoff situation, they've got to lock these guys in a room for about 3 days and say, don't come out until you get this done. As we've seen here often, college football has the problem of they try to act like they're trying to split the atom instead of come up with a expansion 12 teams that would work with everybody. I think if you're the non-Power Five, you've got to continue to have an expansion, because you're not. There's no guarantee that they're going to allow a non-Power Five in every year, right, by any stretch of the imagination. So the quicker we can get to 12, which, yeah, that probably means the SEC may have four teams in there instead of just two, is a fact of no, they've got to get that done, and I don't think it slows it down, because there's accessibility. There's too much money that goes along with it. So I think we'll continue to expand, and hopefully we'll get this done and get it up and going by, say, 2024.
Well, and there was something I saw. I want to go back to the Manny Diaz thing. I thought this was pretty incredible. And this is about Miami buying into their football program more than maybe they ever have. So $8 million to buy out Manny Diaz, $9 million right. to buy out Mario Cristobal, $8 million for Cristobal's salary. I mean, this money that Miami's football program is spending, I mean, they seem to be throwing the house at, you know, Mario Cristobal and paying money to try to make sure that Mario Cristobal is the guy and that he's the right guy to lead that program back to where they want to be at.
Well, man, listen, Cristobal potentially is the best coach that they have probably had, I would say, in quite some time, frankly. So, I mean, look, I love Mark Richt, but it only worked for a while in that situation. But they've got to get someone there. And here's why they hired Cristobal. Is basically for recruiting. They've had people go down there and just steal them blind of five stars, and they're hoping Cristobal can put the proverbial fence around the Coral Gables area and keep those guys home. So to their credit, they have really gone out now. And this is not Al Golden, and this is not Manny Diaz. They've got a guy here who could get facilities done, maybe even a stadium done locally, and also bring in a recruit. So, I would agree with you. This is a big time effort on the part of Miami people.
This is a moment, and I grew up down the South Florida areas, you know, Brent, and going to the games. This is a – we need a leader. It's like when you're overthrowing a government, a dictator, those things we see on Netflix. Like, we need a leader with a face that is us, which he is, Miami, and says – this is not just about the team. This is about the culture because, like you said, in order for win, he could be the best recruiter in the world. Guess who doesn't want to show up to a stadium an hour away from the campus that's one-fourth full? So he needs everything, like you said. He needs the boosters. That there is a lot of money down in Miami. So he needs those people to step up and put the money back into the team. They need a new facility. But he is that face that could overthrow what has been something that they couldn't get out of the rut. So there is a shot. And to Manny Diaz, good point. Mac just texts. He goes, remember when Manny Diaz, he did barely 3 weeks after taking the Temple job, book it out and say, welcome to Miami, which, I mean, we can't blame him, but, you know, he was already Temple's coach for, like, already there for 3 weeks building the program and saying, rah, rah. And then he just booked it out. So he's got a little sour grapes when he threw a little shade on him. So, yep, Manny, you just, you know what would have helped? You could have won more football games. You know, that could have worked. I think the name Diaz fits Miami. You just weren't winning football games. That can help as well. Brent, always great stuff. We could talk for hours. Brent Venables, there's so much stuff. Today is like, you know, I know that we all have to just start to get online right now, as Drew is right now, looking up ticket orders for UCF and Florida at the Gasparilla Bowl.
That's right.
You don't have to look it up. Somebody will hand them to you. If you go to Tampa, they'll just hand them in the parking lot to you. Like, you want four? Here you go. I'm not going here. All right. Well, Brent, always great stuff. This is going to be a fun college football month ahead of us. And thank you. And like we said, always give thanks for our friendship and our family and life. And, you know, I always want you to know how important you are to the show. And thank you so much for your time.
Well, it's appreciated greatly, and I'll end with this. Certainly for the Alabama fans in your area, how excited they should be. I still say this is one of Nick Saban's greatest coaching jobs with the issues that they've had on this team. And I'll end with this. I think, guys, definitely upgrades at Florida and also Miami. And look, the three of us want to see better football in the state. I think we're on the way to get it.
I'm okay if those teams stink. My team will just continue to get better. So that's
with Gus Malzahn?
Yeah, right. No, insert somebody else. He can go to the Villages. It's not too far away. Hey, Brent, always good stuff, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, guys.